Oh, beloved, that that may mark us in all our priestly exercises to God's praise, honour and glory. But he goes on and he says, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now, you know, you and I, we talk freely, don't we, about gathering to the name of the Lord. What does it mean to us? Is it just a shibboleth? Is it just something that we know in a theoretical way? Is it something that we know because we've been brought up in the truth by our parents? Is it something that we just take in a customary, a perfunctory sort of way? Or are you and I thrilled with the honour of gathering to the Lord's name? That when we come in assembly fashion like this, we gather around a living centre, we gather to the Lord himself, we gather to his name. And you know, gathering to his name means this, that we own the authority of his name, and our lives are marked by obedience, because we thus gather together. Oh, he says, I gave the covenant to Levi, for the fear wherewith he feared me, and feared and was afraid before my name. Now he goes on, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from their iniquity. He describes Levi, his mouth, his lips, his feet, his hands. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips, his mouth, his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, his feet, and did turn many away from iniquity, his hands. Oh, here was Levi, as God saw him in the beginning, holy, devoted to the living God. Beloved, spiritual fear should produce in us this entire devotedness to God, that which characterized Levi. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. Notice, beloved, that word, peace and equity. His life was harmonious with God, and his life was fair with men. There was equity, righteousness, fair dealing towards men. Peaceful, harmonious relationships with God, and fair and upright dealings towards men. And he did turn many away from iniquity. Now the verse 6, begins with truth, and it ends with turning away from iniquity. Truth is the expression of the mind of God. The law of truth was in his mouth, the expression of the mind of God. And then, iniquity was not found in his lips. Now, iniquity is evil in the thought. Sin is evil in the essence. Transgression is evil in the exercise. Iniquity is evil in the entrance. The thought of evil that enters into your life and mine. Oh, beloved, this man Levi and his followers, iniquity was not found in their lips. The descendants of Levi, rather, iniquity was not found in their lips, and they turned many away from iniquity. Their thoughts were pure, their minds were pure. Oh, may God keep you and me pure from iniquity. That is, pure from evil thoughts. You know, in Psalm 32, the psalmist says, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, the iniquity of my sin. Sin, the essence of evil, sprang from iniquity, the entrance of evil, the thought of evil, and God forgave it, stump and rump, the whole iniquity, thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's how God forgives. Well, that's what he wants you and me to put away. Not only sin, but the iniquity of our sin, the very thoughts that would underlie evil. Well, and they turn many away from iniquity. For the peace lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the Lord's mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The peace lips should keep knowledge. Why does he say the peace lips should keep knowledge? Well, with our lips we feed. We imbibe things with our lips. And the peace with his lips was to imbibe the knowledge of God. Ah, but then he was to imbibe it and to keep it. The peace lips should keep knowledge. Why was he to keep it? So that when anybody came to him, he could impart to them the word of God. Beloved, you and I, as a priestly family, filled filled with the fear of the Lord. Do we keep knowledge in our lips? Feed upon the knowledge of holy things. Feed upon the knowledge of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. So that when anyone comes to us with an inquiry, we are ready to answer them. We are ready to try to meet their need. Ready to show an answer of the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. So, beloved, here is the priesthood of Israel, the priesthood of Levi. What was it that marked them? Well, he says, my covenant was with him of life and peace, relationship and harmony. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. Levi turned from his anger and his passion and bitterness to be filled with the fear of the Lord. And it resulted in the law of truth being in his lips, and iniquity was not, the law of truth being in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. And it resulted in him turning many from iniquity. And it resulted in him in priestly exercise, keeping knowledge that he might seek others. Beloved, this was what characterized Levi the priest. I mean, the priesthood of Israel who were of the tribe of Levi. This is what characterized them due to the fear of God. Oh, may God help you and me, that you and I may be imbued with the fear of God. Now shall we turn, please, to chapter 3. In chapter 1 we saw the fear of the Lord and obedience. In chapter 2 we have the fear of the Lord and devotion. In chapter 3 we have the fear of the Lord and communion. The fear of the Lord and communion. And we read here, blessed be in chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord speak often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Oh, beloved, here's a dark, 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 somber picture of Israel. In all their mounting evil, in all their growing iniquity, in all their increasing rebelliousness, but there's a remnant, a godly, faithful remnant. And in these dark days we read, then they that feared the Lord spake often one with another. Beloved, how is the fear of the Lord kept alive? How is the fear of the Lord kept burning? How is the fear of the Lord maintained? It's maintained as we speak often one with another. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one with another. Oh, that's how it's maintained. You know, if you and I try to live an isolated life, an independent life, away from God's people, well, it's foredoomed to failure. An isolated life cannot stand. But if we delight in the fellowship of God's people, and we delight in gathering at the meetings, and we delight in associating with the saints in assembly character, we'll be strengthened, as the scripture puts it, by the mutual faith one of another. As iron sharpeneth iron, so doth the face of man the countenance of his friend. Well, it says, then they that fear the Lord speak often one with another. Now, you notice, their relationships with each other were characterized by their relationships with the Lord. They feared the Lord, and so they gathered one with another. And if you and I fear the Lord, we'll often be found in the presence of his people. Yea, we'll delight to be there. We'll delight to be there. Then they that fear the Lord speak often one with another. You notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, fear they that fear the Lord speak often one about another. It says they speak often one with another. Oh, child of God, thou fear the Lord may issue in that blessed, happy communion. Incidentally, Bible scholars tell us that the Hebrew word, they speak often, it means rather that they speak continuously. It was their continuous practice to talk to one another about the Lord. Oh, beloved, that you and I may live in the atmosphere of the assembly. Not only when we are there, but when we are not there. And when we meet God's people, that we may delight to talk about him. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy we read, these words shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way. Then they that fear the Lord speak often one with another, one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. Notice the expression, the Lord hearkened and heard it. God heard it. It reached the ears of God But more than that, God hearkened. God's desire was towards them. God's will was towards them. God's good pleasure was towards them. He heard it. That was simply audition. God heard their words. But he hearkened. God responded to their talk one to another. And his blessed heart went out in love to them. Oh, beloved, if you and I are in the practice of talking one to another about the Lord, the Lord's heart will be towards us. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now you notice the change. First we read them that feared the Lord speak often one with another. But then we read at the end of verse 16, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Their fear, first of all, was connected with talking of him. But behind all that, their fear was connected with thinking about him. And their thoughts were the their talk was the result of their thoughts. Now you know, friends, it's true in the Christian life. You and I will talk about what we think about. What we think about will have the largest place in our talk. And God kept a book of remembrance of them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And that was why they talked about him. Because they feared the Lord and thought about his name. Oh, you know, beloved, they feared the Lord. And because they feared him, they loved to talk about him. Today, I've been in the house of Mr. Wishart there. And we have a mutual friend, a brother whom Mr. Wishart and I both know well. And we have a great respect for him, a great esteem for him. And off and on, right through the day, that brother's name has come up again and again as we've talked about the merits and the virtue and the devotedness of that brother. Now, we talked about him because he was on our minds, because he was on our heart. And beloved, that's true in a greater measure with the Lord. If we fear the Lord with a deep reverential fear, if he's dwelling in our thoughts, why then the witness of the Lord will come out in our mouths and be the light to talk about the one who is the joy of our hearts. And so the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Now listen, beloved. God says of those who feared him and talked about his name, they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. But how could that be? These people had been Israelites, and they'd been identified with all the departure of Israel. But now they've turned from it, and they've turned to the Lord, and they've begun to talk about the blessed Lord. Well, in view of their past associations, in view of what they are identified with, godless Israel, how could the Lord say, they shall be mine when I make up my jewels? How could the Lord say, they shall be mine when I make up my jewels? Listen, beloved, if you please, when you turn back earlier in the chapter, verse 2 of the same chapter. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Oh, beloved, the Lord is as a refiner of silver, and he used a refiner's fire and fuller's soap to refine his people. That's how he can say, they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. Because they've been in the Lord's refining process. The Lord has refined them as silver's refined. He's used fuller soap upon them. And there they are, a refined people. And the Lord says, they were once rough and tough. They were once identified with ungodly, selfish Israel. But they've turned from it all. And now they've come under my disciplinary, my chastening hand. The refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. And I refine and refine and refine. And he says, I sit over the refiner's fire watching them. I watch them as they go through the crucible of affliction. But by and by they'll come out of it by the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap. And they'll come out jewels. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. Oh, beloved, if you and I in our hearts are set upon the Lord, if our minds are devoted to him, well, he allows us to go through his refiner's fire.
He uses his fuller's soap. What's the difference between the fire and the soap? Well, the fire is that which burns. It burns away the dross from the silver. Well, the Lord allows you and me to go through the fire of affliction, the fire of tribulation, the fire of his discipline, that the dross might be burned away, and only that which is pure may stand. But then the fuller soap, that's the gentler treatment. And the Lord gives the severity of the fire, and he gives us the gentler treatment of the fuller's soap. You know what a fuller is? The word fuller means a bleacher, one who bleaches things white. And the Lord uses fuller's soap, the teaching of his word, the application of Holy Scripture, the tender pastoral ministries. He used the fuller's soap to whiten us, that we might be dazzling, glistening, white. Now then, beloved, here in chapter 3 says the Lord, they shall be mine when I make up my jewels. And how shall we want the appearance jewels? Well, having been through the refiner's fire, having been under the influence of the fuller's soap, having known the Lord's disciplinary, his parental, his corrective, his refining ways, one day, says the Lord, you and I shall be among his jewels. And the Lord will honor us. What for? Because we died for him? No. Because we suffered great hardship? No. Because we spoke about his name, because we talked about him. Oh, beloved, you have in your dear Irish hymn book a hymn which says, little things we have forgotten, he will tell us were for him. And so when you and I get home to the judgment seat of Christ, the little things that we've forgotten, the little whisper for the Lord, the word here and the word there, the cheering, encouraging talks with our brethren and our sisters, the Lord has them all totted down in the book, and you and I will receive a reward for him. And because we've been through the refining process, we'll be numbered as his jewels, says the Lord. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. Oh, beloved, do we want the Lord to delight in us in that day? Then let us be so animated by the fear of the Lord that we think about him and talk about his name. So then, in chapter 3 he shows that the fear of the Lord will eventuate in communion. But now look at chapter 4, please, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked, for there shall be ashes on the swords of your feet, and the deer that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now, beloved, it's true of Israel in a coming day. To the remnant of Israel that fear his name, the Lord shall arise when he comes to earth to reign. But I want you to think of the principle of it with regard to you and me. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness arise. What does it mean? Listen. As you and I fear the Lord's name, the Lord will become a vivid, personal, intimate reality to us. Do we ever talk about the Lord and find that he seems to be far away? Do we ever think about the Lord and find that he seems to be a long way off? Does the Lord ever seem to be away in the distant stillness? Listen. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. If you and I are dominated and animated by the fear of the Lord, then Christ will become a tangible reality to us. The Son of Righteousness shall arise. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. Oh, beloved, I like this word. Arise, shall the Son of Righteousness arise. Luke says the Dayspring from on high has visited us. The Dayspring, the Son of Righteousness hath arisen. The Epistle to the Hebrews says, after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. A high priest has arisen to live for us in heaven. Malachi says, to them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise
arise. Peter says in his epistle, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Beloved, as you and I are living in the fear of the Lord, the Son of Righteousness arises. Christ becomes exalted in our lives. Christ becomes exalted in our hearts. Christ becomes our thrill and our glow and our rapture and our delight. The Son of Righteousness arises. But notice, beloved, the Son of Righteousness. The sun shines in all its glowing strength and tells of righteousness. And if you and I fear the Lord's name, his righteousness is manifest in our life. Christ in his righteousness is seen in our lives. And our lives advertise, they display, they radiate the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. With healing in his wings. Now, as I said, I know it relates to a coming day, but thinking of the principle of it now, as we fear his name, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing. Fellow believers, do we ever fear that we've got spiritual and moral weaknesses? That touch of pride, that touch of temper, that leading of selfishness, wayward ambition, that tendency to fear and to give way to doubt and trepidation. These are besetting sins to which perhaps all of us are heir in some way or another. But to you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing. Oh, beloved, how many a sick patient has got into sunlight, and he's gone somewhere where there's plenty of sunshine, he's enjoyed the sun, and the sun has exerted healing influence upon him. And if you and I fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness will rise in our lives, and he'll have a healing influence, and he'll heal us of that pride, he'll heal us of that quick temper, he'll heal us of that selfish spirit, he'll heal us of that languor and listlessness, he'll heal us of that faulty ambition. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. But why with healing in his wings? That's a funny place to have healing. Why with healing in his wings? Well, it's because when we shelter under his wings that we know his healing influence. When we're nestling close to the Lord, when we're living close to him, it's just that we know his healing influence. Ah, but the wings take us back to the Passover. You know, in the Passover, God said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and will not suffer the destroyer to enter in. When God saw the blood, he passed over their houses with sheltering wings outspread. The word Passover in Exodus 20 is the same word that we get as it in 1 Kings 19, when Elijah said to Israel, "How long halt you betwixt two opinions?" That word halt is the same word. When I see the blood, I will halt over you. It's the same word that Isaiah uses. As birds fly in low, still the Lord defend Jerusalem. He will pass over them to defend them. It's God hoping, protecting them like a bird above his people. So on the Passover day, God halted over Israel. He spread his wings over them and protected them. Now, to you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Oh, beloved, as we fear the Lord's blessed name, we know his protecting power. His wings spread over us, and we know his gracious healing influence. The elders in Hebrews 12 are told to watch those that are weak, lest that which is weak be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Oh, there's healing in the assembly. There's healing in the Christian life. James says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you might be healed. Oh, the gracious healing ministry of our blessed Lord, in the life, in the character, in the heart, in the ways of his people. And to you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. But then he goes further and he says, and he shall go forth and go up as calves of the storm. And he shall go forth and go up. He shall go forth. Oh, that's liberty, isn't it? No longer bound, ye shall go forth. Beloved, Romans chapter 6 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law but under grace. Ye shall go forth, the Lord's liberated ones,
the Lord liberated ones. Romans chapter 8 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Ye shall go forth. Oh, as we live in the fear of the Lord, it has a liberating influence. Ye shall go forth. And he delivers us from the toils of evil, from the bonds of iniquity, from the slaughter of transgression. He brings us into his own perfect liberty. The Lord stood at the grave of Lazarus and he said, Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot, but the Lord said, loose him and let him go. Lazarus came forth into liberty. Oh, beloved, you and I, as we live in the fear of the Lord, we enter into his liberty. Ye shall go forth. But then it says, and ye shall grow up as calves of the stall. Now, how do calves of the stall grow up? Well, beloved, I'm not a farmer and I don't know anything about farming, but I believe we can just say this. You know, the calves of the stall, they don't feed with the common herd. They are kept in the stall, especially to be fattened and built up by the herdsmen. They are kept in the stall, and they are fed in a special way. They are not simply fed on the grass with the herd, but they are fed with special dainties. They're in the herdsman's care, and they grew up as calves of the stall. Oh, beloved, if you and I are in this condition, we'll have the Lord's special attention, the Lord's particular care, and he'll feed us with royal dainties as the calves of the stall. As the calves of the stall. You know, I remember once staying in a place called Sackley in the county of Durham on a farm, and the farmer took me out one day to see his sheep. It wasn't cows here, it was sheep, but the principle will apply, I think. And he called out in a peculiar word that I couldn't reproduce. And one sheep left the herd. One sheep left the herd. And that one sheep came out to him. And he had some special, I don't know what they were, some special things like nuts for this particular sheep. And he fed it out his hand. The herd were there, the flock was there, away from the shepherd, grazing on the grass. But this particular sheep was in the shepherd's presence, feeding from his hand. Oh, beloved, they shall grow up as calves of the stall. The tender calves. The gentle, tender calves. Not with the herd out in the field there, but in the presence of the herdsman. And he feeds them with special royal dainties. Is it any wonder that they grow? Beloved, as we live in the fear of the Lord, as Christ is everything to us, as we can sing like we sang last night, to Jesus every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the golden purple dawn. He's all my fancy pictured in his fairest dreams and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. And as we dwell with Christ like that in his presence, being fed like calves of the stall, we grow up to his glory. But listen, beloved, thinking of the calves of the stall, I think it's in Hosea, the 14th chapter of Hosea. Israel call upon God to save them, and they say, so will we render the calves of our lips. So will we render the calves of our lips. What do they mean? They've been offering their calves to God in sin, and God hadn't accepted them. But they say, Lord, if you receive us freely, if we are restored to thee, instead of offering calves, we'll offer the praise of our lips, the calves of our lips. So coming back to Malachi, they shall grow up as calves of the stall. And if you and I grow up as calves of the stall, well, in the language of Hosea, we'll offer the calves of our lips, that is our worship, the worship of free, grateful, adoring hearts. We'll offer the calves of our lips. And then, beloved, we read here, they shall grow up as calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked. Beloved, in the fear of the Lord, we shall be able to tread down the wicked. We'll be victorious day by day. We know the overcoming portion in ever deeper measure, and the fear of the Lord will produce it in us all. So now, what does Malachi tell us can be produced by the fear of the Lord? Chapter 1, he says, the fear of the Lord will produce obedience. If I be a master, if I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? It will produce obedience. Chapter 2, the fear of the Lord will produce devotion. He speaks of Levi, I gave him the covenant of life and peace, for the fear wherewith he feared me. And the fear in the priestly ones of Levi produced devotion. Chapter 3, the fear of the Lord produced communion. They that feared the Lord spake often one with another. There was communion with each other. Aye, and blessed the Lord. The Lord hearkened and heard it. There was communion with the Lord. And then chapter 4, as the result of this fear of the Lord, there's growth. They shall grow up as calves of the storm. Oh, that you and I might have the obedience, chapter 1, the devotion, chapter 2, the communion, chapter 3, and the growth, chapter 4, growth that are found from walking in the fear of the Lord. God help us to follow in this path to his glory.